Welcome back to the Anal Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another exciting Anal Probe segment. Join us as we break down the topics in the title and oh, so much more on every episode. Do you love the Anal Podcast? Feel free to leave a review, subscribe, or even tell a friend. It helps us get noticed, and we love to get noticed. You can email the pod at anewamericanlegacy@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at anewamericanle1. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Anal Podcast. Tonight I am joined by Jacob, John, Mike if it's Mike Mikes, and Jared, and I think a violent draft might even stick his head in here at some point. He may be around sooner rather than later. I don't know. Time will tell. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourself? Giraffe, if you can hear me, stick your head in.
Hello, I am the violent giraffe.
Hi, I'm Jacob from Jacob's Bipolar Adventures.
I am John, and that's all I have for you so far.
Mike's not Mike, so yeah, Jared.
I'm Jared, and I'm at the beach, but I'm not like right on the beach because it's too windy right now on the beach to be on the beach. So I'm like on the other side, like of the house that's not on the beach. So like, there's less wind.
Beach casting, hot damn! You are living the life, brother.
Do you have a shirt on?
Yeah, no. I do.
Damn it!
Oh, sorry.
Let's try that again. I'll fix it in post.
Do you have pants on?
No, just a shirt.
It looks like Mike may be popping in and out to get his mic in. How is my mic sounding actually today? I'm using a different one, so. A
little tinny.
Bad tinny?
I don't think anybody's going to care, but.
Yeah, actually.
The multitudes that listen to us, I don't know there will be a problem.
Hello.
Welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Rochelle.
That picture I have shared with two of my other Discord pet channels, and the backstory of my first anal gland expression patient has really brought some great joy to people. I literally just have gone into the rooms to listen to the people laugh at the dog's expression. That was actually before.
Like, I was just eating lunch, and I was like, hey, buddy, guess what's happening after I'm done with lunch? I'm going to express your anal glands.
It can understand what you said.
So, to get started today, my energy level today is way, way up because I found something out that is super relevant to my life. Who wants to hear all about it?
Yes, I do. I want to hear what you found out.
I've been feeling super like Lyme's disease-y, and they're like, no, your Lyme's keeps coming back negative. You're not flaring up. You're like perfectly fine. I'm like, oh, I feel terrible. Everything is terrible. I hate it. So my doctor was like, based on a few of the symptoms, like I'm going to do a test and we're just going to see. It turns out I have a genetic condition called pernicious anemia. Awesome thing is B12 regimen and I'm good to go. I have had my first infusion, and I literally have so much energy, I don't know what the fuck to do. When I go to sleep, I wake up, and it's like, I actually, like, slept or something. It's just, it's pretty different. But turns out, it just makes your red blood cells get super fat and huge, and your stomach then no longer absorbs B12 properly, and your level goes to, like, zero, and you feel horrible. And now I have a B12 booster, and I feel pretty good.
Well, that's awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
So that's personal news. Simple I have fix. A condition, but I get a shot once a month. And if that shot makes me feel this great, I'll take one once a week, please. Thank you.
Speaking of medications that make people feel great.
Nice segue. Where are we going?
Yeah, where are we going?
Where could we possibly be going with medications that completely cure everything?
Yeah, but see, there's sarcasm. Maybe. I was hoping that there wasn't sarcasm in your voice. There definitely is.
Definitely. Your sarcasm detector's off today.
I mean, my mouth was open. Before we do that, though, maybe Rochelle could explain to everyone what ivermectin is, because everybody I've talked to IRL has no idea.
Oh, really?
Which is weird because of my anecdotal story that's going to come up very soon. But yeah, please explain to the people that I've been talking to what ivermectin is.
I only learned about ivermectin when I went to school, Again, I went to school to become a veterinary assistant, not anything to do with human medicine. And ivermectin is an anti-parasitic drug. It can kill parasites, usually roundworms, threadworms, hookworms. It's a lot more common in like horses or larger animals.
Like sheep, maybe?
Yeah, yep.
Horses, maybe?
Yep, horses. It's not an antiviral drug. It is an anti-parasite drug.
Why do you mention it being an antiviral drug?
See, the funny thing is I've been hearing about people taking this because they're thinking that it will cure COVID or just kill the COVID, but that's not how drugs work. You don't just put something in your body and be like, oh, well, it's just roll the dice, take a spin, maybe this will work, maybe it won't. All that it's doing is killing absolutely everything that's in your gut, good, bad, and you do need good bacteria in your gut. If not, you will get much, much sicker. So
that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that aspect, but the people that are taking ivermectin right now have the opportunity to either die of COVID or die of shitting themselves.
Possibly, maybe.
Yeah. Well, from what I understood, the dying from shitting yourself isn't so much you shit yourself to death, but because you're using an ivermectin that may be designed for, say, a fucking horse or a cow, the dosage may not be exactly accurate to the poundage for what you may need, and people are then passing things that look like worms that probably more than likely will turn out to be, you know, the intestinal linings of their stomachs, because ivermectin kills everything, including you. It's a poison. If you take too much, you'll probably die.
And just to clarify for those still completely in the dark about all of this, a certain section of the demographic in, I guess, the United States and maybe some other countries, but probably not, are taking ivermectin as a treatment for COVID. To the point where, here's my story, I checked two local stores, one Tractor Supply and one like Tractor Supply, the same store. Both were out of ivermectin.
Was it Agway? Because I checked Agway.
No, well, I assume Agway was probably out, but no, it was another one. Yeah. Both stores also had like very horribly printed out signs that say, one said you have to bring a picture of your horse to buy this. And the other one said, please, this is not for people. This is for horses and sheep and shit. It didn't say shit, but you know.
Proof of livestock required.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That was kind of the funny part. Like, you know, horse people are a different breed anyway, but I feel like, you know.
Horse people I know would not be taking out a horse dose of ivermectin and injecting it straight into their face. No, they would not. No,
I think they would understand the difference. Like the difference in anatomy between a giant ass horse and a human. Like there is just some huge anatomical differences, and you can't think that like I'm just going to read these directions on a package that is written for an entire other species and then translate it
and assume it'll apply to a human.
Pardon the pun, but I mean maybe you just take the sheep dose then.
The weight is about right.
I hate you. Two puns within 2 minutes.
Unbelievable.
I'm out swinging. I think that there's our background, but does anybody else have any fun little stories about ivermectin?
Well, I actually don't have a fun story, but I do have like a direct question. How can people who are concerned and worried about a vaccine being harmful to them be so okay with taking pet medication? Is this truly just the caliber of ignorance in the demographic that have been duped? Or is this the cultivated identity that they are so ingrained in that if that's the thing to do, take fucking horse pills and that's what we're gonna do?
I really don't know, and I've been asking myself that a little bit And I think what John posted earlier was pretty interesting and got me thinking more about, like, you know, someone's circle of friends. If everybody is saying, do this, take the horse pill, take the ivermectin, and you're the only one that's critically thinking about it, and you just don't want to be lonely and face anything without, you know, your people around you.
And in direct relation to that comment, I think about myself and the situation I was in 3 to 9 months ago, where I was convincing people to go get the vaccine and how difficult that was. And now I'm kind of balancing that out to the other side, convincing their friends to take ivermectin, and the two sides of the same coin are flipping me out. Hi, Katie.
He'd also be breaking new. Rob says hi.
Jared's on vacation. Let him be on vacation.
He joined on his own accord. It's free as you come and go up on the Anal Podcast.
We're having a vodka party on the beach.
For those listening, Jared and his lovely wife have found their way to the beach, as we heard in the intro, and I'm sure they're enjoying themselves greatly.
Neither are wearing pants.
No pants allowed.
I mean, how's the hurricane affecting the vacation?
It's over down there. Oh, hurricane's north now.
We're north of the hurricane zone, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's mostly in the Gulf, I think. We're a little.
Yeah, we're east of the hurricane.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
How can you take ivermectin and not the vaccine? Is it?
Well, I think it does come back to this cultivated identity, because if anyone recalls, like, people are not taking this drug randomly. There was, like, some study done that said it was promising, which, of course, has since been, like, debunked with other studies, right? So, normally, I guess, with science, you'd go, okay, well, that's debunked now, so we shouldn't. What, you're locking me out? So we shouldn't listen to it, you know? We should move on.
Are you in trouble for podcasting right now?
A little bit, I think. But I mean, I know I can't do it next week, so, you know, it's just pod is life. But then it becomes discredited because of new science comes forward, and it's like, oh, this actually, there's no evidence. And then you move on. But the problem is, right, when your identity is based upon, like, going against the grain, and, like, you know, secret, you know, the truth, right? And you can't trust, like, the mainstream narrative, because they're lying to you. So, you know, if there's a discredited study, that just gives them more ammunition to think it's true, because everything they believe is based on, like, again, even the whole anti-vax movement itself goes back to a study that was, like, immediately discredited, and, like, the guy is, he was disbarred or whatever they do to doctors. Like, he's not even a doctor anymore because he just lied so hard for a pharmaceutical company.
And he's also from the UK. That's the craziest part about that story. He wasn't even an American who started it.
No, yeah. I mean, that's what, and so, no, I really think that it falls into this cultivated identity of being against the grain, you know, and against the mainstream narrative. And what better way to be against the mainstream narrative than a defunct study about medicine, right?
I mean, I'm just trying to imagine some of these people that are ingrained in this cultivated identity, and, like, gun to your head, here's a horse dose of ivermectin or the vaccine. They're probably all going to pick the ivermectin. And that just blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a perfect storm of these powerful psychologies and sociologies, you know, within a system that seeks to capitalize upon everything. So, you know, we see capitalism capitalizing on these people that, you know, it knows it are in this cult. So, you know, what do? We sell them this thing and tell them this stuff. And, you know, here we go. My wife owns stock in the treatment for COVID. So I'm going to make sure everybody gets it, right? I'll make some money. I will capitalize. That was my Rand Paul impression.
Quick aside, that Ben Shapiro WAP thing has haunted my dreams.
Oh, God. Yeah, that thing's awful.
Carry on.
Don't kink shame me.
No one's kink shaming. We just don't like it.
Well, again, and I think that's the sad thing too, is that I keep bringing this up, but like these people are just being duped by, you know, people making bank off of them. You know, I think we talked about it last week that last time or the time before about, oh, well, you know, Fox News has this whole, oh, anti-vax stuff, but you got to prove that you're vaxxed to come to work, right? And like Trump, right? He was just at a rally and he got booed for saying, take the vaccine, it works. He's like, hey, I did it, it works. And they booed him, right? And
well, he's not suiting the ideology anymore.
Well, it's again, like, I think the people that are making the most money and like steering this know it's bullshit, but they just don't care. Like, I think Trump just was like, whatever, I'll say whatever to get people excited. Like,
it's like professional wrestling, right?
Yes.
Still, it's still like that. That analogy still works for this whole situation.
Well, that analogy is that part of the cultivated identity. Is that WWE? Here's what the story is. Is that what helps so deeply ingrain the cultivated identity that these people have found?
Well, that's how it started, yeah, right? And now they're so deep in it, they can't back out, maybe. Maybe they just feel like they're stuck.
Maybe we should be looking, honestly, like, more in, like, to the psychology of being extricated from a cult?
Well, yeah, I mean, that might be what true. It takes, but that this is a cult.
Yeah.
I heard somebody call it Cult 45, which, you know, was kind of funny, but it's also very sad. Yeah.
What is, like, the definition of a cult, and how does it meet the parameters?
I can't define it. Good God. Google it for me.
I'm Googling it.
I have a personal definition of a cult, because okay. I like cults. I mean, I don't like cults, but yeah.
About cults.
Yes, I like learning about them, and serial killers, and all the weird
participating
things.
Participating in them.
What? Anyway, I think a cult is something that removes you from everybody and fills you with either fear or just fear or control so that you can't really accept anything outside of what you are now into. That's just kind of what I personally think.
Is it accept yourself within that society or accept their beliefs as your own and like believe them yourself?
Yeah. So like you wouldn't really accept anything, any like criticism or anybody else's opinion outside of this group, because this group, this cult that you're in, is now the only thing that matters, because they've, you know, mostly either instilled a lot of fear or they just have something that will, I guess, make it instilling fear and taking away other outside voices.
That's kind of what I view. That's pretty much it. It's an entity that sort of profits from, and not necessarily financially, but profits from our baser human emotions. You know, we all want to belong to things. And, you know, when you don't, you'll be, you know, more inclined to join something where people say you do belong. But there's not really much definition between cult and religion. And what's sad about that is we've all heard the expression, like, facts don't care about your feelings, or facts don't care about what you believe, right? Beliefs don't care about facts.
The other side of the coin.
Right. Mm. Whenever somebody becomes involved with one of these things that preys upon, you know, all of these drives that I'm sure Freud would be really happy to talk about, as long as you're not a very strong man, then he'll faint. You get so enmeshed and so deep in the hole of it that you don't really have a choice. I've seen a lot of documentaries on various cults, and I'm not going to name them because they terrify me. And that's just how it works. People that get out are extremely lucky, but also, you know, they risk their lives. And, you know, that's a bad cult. That's a bad religion. There are other religions you can leave without, you know, worrying about if you'll die. Now you just have to worry about where you go when you die. We're kind of seeing where whatever you believe or whatever you ascribe to or whatever you claim as your identity is kind of beating any other, you know, information and enters that. We're not really, and it's bigger than being taught to critical think and critical think properly. That's so far down the line of what these people need. Like, I don't know if we'll ever find an answer for fixing this, or if there is a fix to it. Like, you know, people haven't really changed for quite a while. So, you know, capitalism is kind of a cult, if you think about it in some grand terms. Most religions are cults. Our religions are cults. Like, you know.
Well, for our listeners, I have taken the opportunity to pull up the Oxford Languages definition of cult. It is a noun. For anyone interested, it is a system of religious veneration and devotion directed towards a particular figure or object. In quotations, the cult of Saint Olaf, which I think is weird because isn't that like the church the Golden Girls went to or something? Weird flashback there. Also,
Betty White went.
Yeah, a relative small group of people having religious beliefs or practices regarded by others as strange or sinister. Also a cult, a network of Satan-worshipping cults. There you go. And finally, which I think is the most interesting of the Oxfords, a misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular person or thing, in quotations, a cult of personality surrounding the leader.
That is kind of an interesting definition because it says misplaced. Uh-huh. Like, what gives you the right to say a belief is misplaced?
Not only misplaced, but also excessive admiration.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's excessive too.
So you've just defined Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Trumpism.
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of the same thing. And, you know, the people that are in the Trump religion believe everybody else is a cult. So, you know, where do you go other than outside of a system that seeks to profit off of our frailty as humans?
Until we're in a system where there's no longer profit in some manner. Right, for people to cultivate these cults and these identities, like they're just going to keep happening. Like until we reach a point where no one's going to profit from, you know, people taking Intervectum, right? And they're not going to be able to get their donations telling them how right they are and all this stuff. It's going to keep going. I mean, again, like the whole idea of the cult of Trump, like the cult of Trump exists because of how shitty our system is. And how shitty it's gotten that an obvious shit-ass grifter like Trump could get ahead. It's not a statement on Trump, but it's a statement on the system in which Trump was able to, you know, exist and thrive under.
He was the president.
Yeah, well, he's Trump's going to happen again, whether it's him or it's somebody else.
That's it won't just, be him, but
it's how this works. It might be another Trump. The way we're going,
Gates or whatever. Something.
Oh, that's God, the I real hope worry. Or DeSantis.
Could be Biden, who's just another Trump to date.
Does this ever spiral out, or does somebody else ever take the reins of this cyclone? Does ivermectin stay the new hydroxychloroquine, or do they add something else to the list? Does this just remain their new fascination, or does something else come along to replace it at some point?
Well, it depends. In 16 months, we'll see what fucking senator or congressman's wife has taken out, or husband has taken out stock in the company that controls ivermectin. And exactly. We'll have our answer.
This is just their soup du jour is what I'm concerned about. It's just their new thing they added to the list. It was hydroxychloroquine and take vitamin D, and now all of a sudden ivermectin joins the list. What
zinc, remdesivir,
zinc. Yeah. What else is going to join their list of things that they're going to take instead of taking a vaccine?
I think next is going to be Tide Pods.
Oh Jesus!
Not bring that it again around. Nice callback.
Well, every new variant, right, gives you an opportunity to get a new drug that will work against that variant that you can tell people about that will donate to your Patreon or your PayPal, or they'll pay you $19.99 a month to, you know, get on their mailing list and get their vitamins or whatever. Like,
yep.
Or you know you'll be buying the penis pills from Alex Jones.
There is a lot of irony in the right-wing talk show hosts who keep on touting anti-masking and anti-vaxxing and wind up catching COVID and wind up dying from it.
There's what, three so far?
Maybe like,
there's
more.
There's been three right-wing media hosts that have gotten sick and died.
Yeah. Most notably, on the day we record this, Joe Rogan gotten sick, not died yet.
Correct, but he also injected ivermectin right up his asshole, didn't he?
Yeah, he said a cocktail.
In the butt?
Featuring ivermectin.
What?
I'm just assuming. I'm just assuming that's the way Joe Rogan does things, okay?
It's actually kind of surprising how many people will just think that all medicine for animals just goes in the butt. We're like, no. In the mouth.
Why are people so infatuated with shoving things up their dog's butts?
A giraffe would want to know that.
We have to express the gland.
I wish I knew.
I think where it's going to be a multi-episode quest to understand why vaccine bad, ivermectin okay.
Or any other random treatment that's going to come next. Really, like, who knows?
Maybe we've overthought it. Maybe this is just a simple case of fear selling as well as sex. That may just be all it is.
Yeah, it's a simple case of profiteering. That's really all it is.
Mm-hmm. It's not just fear, because it's not fear of COVID, right? It's fear of the pharmaceutical industry, right? People have valid fears because of all the horrible shit they do constantly. So,
Tisco, the experiment, listeners.
Well, yeah, I mean, and just well, that even was us. Just, yeah, or I mean, yeah, or just the shit the Gates Foundation does, right? That, you know, they send over drugs that were banned in like the U.S. or Europe, and they give them to people in Africa because it's cheaper, right?
So they make it sound like a good faith project.
Yeah, when bad stuff happens there, right? That gives ammunition to these conspiracy people that have valid criticisms. Or likewise, when he went to Africa and was obsessed with eradicating polio. And there was like an oral vaccine he gave people. Well, the World Health Organization experts said, well, actually, what would eliminate this disease is actually if these people just had, you know, better running running water and like just a better quality of life. And Gates was like, no, we just need to give them vaccines. Like, and of course, because the World Health Organization depends on donations from individuals and corporations and countries to actually like implement their policies. You know, Bill Gates gives them a check and it's like, we're giving them this oral vaccine. They go, I guess that's what we're doing, even though we don't think it's right. And then what happens, right? Polio breaks out because the sanitation isn't good enough in these areas of Africa. So, you know, the polio vaccine, it runs through you, but it cures you, but then there's some of that polio left in your waist that then doesn't get properly sanitized, and like they had an outbreak of fucking polio. But this is the fuel, right? So, especially if you don't have this criticism of like the system, right? If your criticism, like I look at the system, I'm like, well, that's just capitalism being capitalism. Like they're trying to make as much money as possible while doing as little as possible, or trying to make as much money as possible by like just the guy that has the most money just says what's up, right? It's not the people who know the most or the experts. It's just I have the most money. Like that's how our system works. But if you don't have that criticism and you think the system works fine, or like the best of the best should be at the top, and that's how they got there, then when shitty stuff happens, then you have to revert to all these conspiracies. So, well, maybe Bill Gates is just evil, and there's the adrenochrome and, you know, the ivermectin. Like, they know it works. That's why they discredited that study. And it's just, you know, it becomes this snowball.
Self-feeding snowball, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Rose. I had seen you dropped in. Welcome to the Anal Podcast tonight. How are things looking on your front in North Carolina?
Things are kind of shitty like I thought they would be. We're still in like a pretty bad bed crisis. We have cut our cardiac patient load to 14 in the CVICU, so I'm getting pulled to like all the other ICUs, and then the medical ICU now has like 3 medical ICUs. So there's like the main medical ICU, and then they have 8 beds in the neuro ICU, and then they also have a medical, it's like MICU B and MICU A, it's like a whole other overflow unit, and that's like all open now. And we're admitting patients that like could go to the floor because the floors are full of COVID. So there's just like COVID everywhere. And yeah, it's still pretty fucking shitty. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Like, it's getting closer to the date where like vaccines are going to be due. I was actually working next to a coworker the other day. Well, I guess this was probably like a week and a half ago or so. And she was going through the toughest time to get all of her vaccine exemption paperwork into the system, because they made it really difficult, obviously, you know, because they're trying to avoid people not getting vaccinated. And she, like, I can't really tell like what kind of like person she is. Like, she kind of leans more towards the like real seeming like really against vaccines, more for like the I don't even know, she's not right wing, she just seems very wary on like the pharmaceutical companies and stuff, which I totally understand, but then like also don't at the same point, because like she works next to me in the cardiovascular ICU, so like you see the treatment therapies and medications we give, and like then I also have friends that are very right wing conservative that are like fuck the vaccine, like they're in their own little weird culty world of anti-vaccination.
For my own mental health, I've hit the point in the vaccine issue where when people are like, oh well, this, that, and I just say, hey look, I was hesitant, I did my research, I know and understand that I made the right choice, have you? Because there is no argument anymore. People are literally dying every day who made the wrong choice, and it is sad.
And people are dying not only because they're getting so sick, it's because they're getting so sick and they can't get the proper care they need because there's nowhere to put them. So
that's true. Collateral damage is a real thing.
Yeah, we still have 30-year-olds on fucking ECMO, complete heart lung bypass.
Well, but for a 30-year-old, what do you think being on ECMO shaves off your life? 20 years just kind of like right off the top for being on that machine?
God, I can imagine. So these kids have been on it for fucking at least 2.5 weeks now. I mean,
well, that actually brings me to a thing I really wanted to ask. Do you know if the 3-week rule is kind of holding true with the Delta variant? Where like, if you haven't shown a sign of improvement in week 3, like there's basically no chance.
It is where we are doing that. I mean, doctors are being more and more honest with, well, it's, which is a good thing, honest with patients and their family members. Like, there was actually a doctor patient conversation that I heard the other day when I was pulled to the neuro ICU, and it was in a COVID patient's room. And, you know, they were telling him, look, we can, you know, get you into an LTAC, like a long-term acute care hospital kind of facility, and they can care for you there because you need like advanced care. This guy, I like even looked in the computer system, he was only like 54 years old. And then they also brought up like, or like, we think that it would be an option if you would talk to palliative care about going home on home hospice and just enjoying the time that you have left with your family, because at this point, there are no more other medical therapies that we can offer that will, you know, get you back to where you were at, like, a previous point.
So we're, like, 4 weeks out of updates, and everything is still pretty much escalating in
so speed, terribly.
In speed as well as intensity, or intensity over speed?
I probably should... intensity over speed. I feel like people are getting just sicker much quicker. People are just needing ICU beds.
And you have to 3 extra medical ICUs at this point.
Well, yeah, we have like the original medical ICU, and then we have 2 extra on top of it.
And they're all in function, because I think last week you had 2 running, and then the one you had just gotten up and not wasn't in place yet, was it?
It we're like putting patients there, but there's only very few now as of right now. But gotcha. All the other ones, like before the medical ICU, when I would check their bed board like last week, they weren't all COVID ICU, because it's a big, like the whole patient's bar is red if you're COVID. It says like special droplet precautions and, or special airborne precautions, excuse me. And this week, like I noticed there was only three white patients on like the 26 bed board that were non COVID. Last week there was maybe like 5 to 6. And now we're just like, it's all just all COVID. All COVID.
Wow.
Oh, which is not good.
Well, now that you're done terrifying everybody and making us sad, do we want to talk about something else that's sad and depressing?
Oh, what?
Everyone's going to love this, but I found why China's bad. I know. What? I know why China's bad.
Why is China bad? I want to know.
Because they are not going to allow kids to play video games during the week. That is some bullshit. China bad. China bad, baby. I'm in. Sign me up on the China bad bandwagon. No video games. Oh, my God. I'm. Oh, jeez. China bad.
First, they came for the gamers.
When they come for the gamers, you know it's over. The gamers,
it's all done.
Oh man!
Haven't they seen Joker or Mr. Robot? Like, because you can't put gamers in society, or they just everything's bad.
Society falls apart.
So yeah, but China's bad because they're just straight up. They were like, no, we don't want kids to game during the week anymore. That's a no-no.
We want them to educate themselves.
It's kind of this is sort of similar to them banning crypto. Like, it's probably good to ban crypto because it's awful for the environment.
Yeah.
You know,
proof of work crypto is bad for the environment.
Their education system is way better than ours. So maybe that has something to do with the kids not playing video games during the week.
They also combine that with, I think there was, it's something that like, I think for like grade school kids, like they don't have they're going to ban homework and they're not going to have like really strenuous tests for like really young kids anymore. It's like, gee whiz. So you're actually using data to like make education better. Like, really, little kids don't like homework and it's not that useful? Really?
China
go figure.
Bad? China bad?
Well, damn it. Now, wait, can China be good and I can just still hate China a little bit, maybe? Is that how I can do that?
Well, I mean, if you want to stay in your America is the best cult, sure.
I'm not in the America is the best cult, I don't think. I kind of want to go to Canada, but I don't have any adequate skills.
Oh, really? But you could, like, just survive off the land, maybe.
Listen, I have, like, 7 of the skills they want. I just don't want to do those jobs.
Oh, fair. That's fair.
Damn it.
I wonder if they would take me.
Yes, Mike. But I think you would Rochelle be gobbled right up.
But she would turn into a popsicle if we moved to Canada, so I don't think it can happen.
So listen, here's what I think you should do with that. Just send her to the northern part of Alaska for like a year ahead of the move. And then when she moves south a little bit, it'll be like you're in Arizona again. She'll be so warm.
I know Russia, I've been saying there. I'm having a hard time with the summers, but that damn, that's quite an extreme, my love.
Yeah.
Like, nothing gets you ready for milder temperatures like a year in an igloo in your underwear.
What if I don't even wear underwear, though?
Oh, damn. Whoa. You're going to be cold. All right. I think I was trying to find some way to segue into the fact that SCOTUS sucks. That clean back in November, whenever I was preaching on about the damn red wedding incident that was approaching that I felt like was going to be terrible. Well, now those things are happening one at a time, and they're kind of terrible. We have the Texas abortion thing that, you know, it's 6-3, haha. And we also have the removal of the CDC's moratorium on eviction, which I believe was also 6-3, was it? 6-3?
Yep.
So that's like the future of America, 6-3, and we see the way it's going. So is the Red Wedding just playing out over 6 months? I don't know.
I thought the Democrats were Big Papa Joe can fix that by just packing the court, right?
Yeah. Yeah, look at how quickly he's packing that court. I necessarily don't think I agree with packing the court, but I do believe in a balanced Supreme Court.
I believe that gay marriage should be legal. There's that.
I believe in doing the right thing, so
Yeah, that's
the right thing's not profitable all the time. You can only do that when it's profitable and Joe Biden's easy a Republican. To capitalize.
You got to remember that too.
Well, I mean, Democrats or Republicans, they're kind of both the same in this regard. But yeah. I mean, Joe definitely is right of center. Yeah. You know, we saw people vote for Joe Biden because he was safer and, you know, they were afraid that, you know, the northern liberals would fuck it all up again. Everything's fine. Biden's president. The kids are not in cages anymore. The wall is not being built anymore. There's
kids
no
are in
more
cages.
Pandemic.
The wall's being built. The pandemic's raging.
I thought independent contractors were building the wall these days trying to sell it to the government.
Wall's being built. Kids are in cages. Wait a minute. Didn't even SCOTUS also rolled back the Biden's policy on the border, too? Didn't we just go back to the Trump era?
But what's different between either one of them?
Yeah.
We stopped putting them in cages on our side and we started doing it on their side again.
Oh, that's right.
Was that 6-3? Was that out of 6-3?
That definitely sounds like it matters.
Okay. I know, Rob, you wanted to speak on the abortion Texas one, but I wanted to mention before that on the one before that, which was the ruling against extending the CDC moratorium on evictions. And there were two specific items from it that I think are just so telling for like the system. The first one, which is great, when they're basically talking about like, now this is the majority opinion and they're, you know, why they think they shouldn't extend it. And they're like, you know, on one hand they're saying, well, you know, CDC shouldn't have the power. It should be Congress. And it's like, okay, sure. I mean, I suppose you could make an argument about that. Maybe, I guess. But they have, like, imagine how powerful the CDC could be and how much shit they could do. And, like, they go, could the CDC, for example, mandate free grocery delivery to the homes of the sick or vulnerable, require manufacturers to provide free computers to enable people to work from home, order telecommunication companies to provide free high-speed internet service to facilitate remote work? And it's like, I know, it's like, dear God, we could give, if our ruling could give the CDC power to actually help people. We can't let them help the poors. That would be awful.
This cannot be lifted up.
So I just think that they're basically saying that it's too dangerous if the government gets enough power to help poor people. It, number one, it is my interpretation of that. But it's just like, give poor, like, they literally said the CDC might be able to give sick people food, and that's too much power.
I feel like that should be a given power. CDC's like, hey, yo, fucking bubonic plague's breaking out in, like, Louisiana, and they're like, alright, why don't we just lock down Louisiana, everyone there can chill at home, food gets delivered once a week, everything you need, the basics, everyone doesn't have to worry about their bills, their pay, it's all taken care of. And we could just stop people from dying for a while. That'd be great. I'd love that. I'd love the CDC to have that power. It's a little draconian, but it'd probably stop a bubonic plague outbreak, you know?
I mean, and again, I think that's what we have to keep in mind. That's the mindset of the Supreme Court and basically the people that run the country.
Well, yeah, isn't the rule with the Supreme Court that the reason they make, this is like a Matthew thing, the reason they make stupid decisions of this variety sometime is because they have to be careful about setting precedent. And this sounds like another one of those cases where precedent would be set by giving them that power and then you, i.e., the slippery slope. So that's very
slippery slopes
legally.
Always fucking used as a counter argument though, and it's usually bullshit. It's a straw man. Like, you can't possibly know what the effects are going to be in the future.
Well, exactly, Rob. I mean, it's a slippery slope. First thing, you allow gay marriage, and then next, what? Everyone's marrying animals,
people,
right?
Are slippery fucking animals, yeah.
Right.
That's the no, classic, you know what slippery happens? Slope. You allow gays to get married, then national/global pandemic breaks out and people start taking veterinary medicine that makes the lining of their guts fall out. That's the reality. You see why I have to do these reality checks? fucking ridiculous. You couldn't write this.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting point you raised there. And it might be an instance where, you know, people in a cult find reasons to justify their existence within the cult and the cult's existence. You know, look what happened when we legalized gay marriage. God smote us.
Didn't that dick from the 400 Club say that they flooded New Orleans where the gays were at, and then that's the only place that was safe is actually where?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a period to that point I was making. But Jared, back to your CDC and their extension of power and what you were talking about earlier with Bill Gates, we saw where improving conditions did actually help disease control, and the CDC is the Center for Disease Control. So, you know, merely giving them power to, like, you know, promote vaccines isn't destined to control disease as much as just improving general conditions of the populace. That is actually disease control. You know, providing food and clean water is something that controls disease.
Yes.
But, you know, we want to curtail and leave the CDC to only treat symptoms rather than actual diseases.
Which is more profitable.
Right. Well, right.
I mean, yes.
It's more profitable to, you know, that old adage, more profitable to keep people sick than to cure them. Yes. But it's, you know, it's also more profitable to, for a lot of other reasons. Like, now we get to sit here and we can look out at all the barbarians that look at how they live, and it's very us and them. And then there's also, I mean, I don't want to list everything because I'm starting to lose my train of thought, but I mean, there's an infinite amount of things to profit from by doing these things.
Well, and speaking of profiting, the second statement that I think Baird pointing out that Mike globbed onto is in the second paragraph here. And despite the CDC's determination that landlords should bear significant financial costs of the pandemic, many landlords have modest means, and preventing them from evicting tenants who breach their leases intrudes on one of the most fundamental elements of property ownership, the right to exclude.
That is lovely.
That's
fucking
so much
lovely
about everything.
So, according to the Supreme Court, a landlord's right to exclude you from the property that they own so they can make a profit supersedes your right to, like, live.
Your right to the pursuit of happiness.
How yes. much has changed from feudalism, everybody? How much has changed? Surf's up.
But it almost sounds like being a serf in some ways would have been nicer, because at least, like, you didn't have to worry about all this shit in the background. Like,
there was food you could eat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's food and clean water.
They had the commons.
Like, the Center for Disease Control should do.
they took longer vacations than us, in America at least.
Fuck's sake, man. Yeah, this is progress, sure.
As far as the work week goes, aren't we one of the most demanding of the developed countries?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, yes.
Probably only, like, Japan is, or South Korea, are more demanding.
And like, as far as, like, the wealth gap, even between men and women, and the wealthy and the not wealthy, that also is pretty way off for us specifically as well. Like, pretty much Jeff Bezos has most of the wealth, and then, like, we're all at the bottom. Right.
Oh, and then there's also fun facts, like someone who is a white male who is a high school dropout will acquire more wealth in their lifetime than a college educated black man for that statistic.
Yeah, did you see that on TikTok? Because I see that.
Well, that's.
I did not see it on TikTok. I heard it on a podcast.
It's a very interesting statistic, and I'm wondering how they're measuring it, because, like, how many, quote, my dad owns a dealership, white men are there that don't have to go to high school.
My dad owns a dealership.
So there's a lot there that's, like, we're not just saying that, like, white guys have more ability to generate wealth than, you know, a black person that has more education. To me, that's more of a indicator privilege? That, you know, white people just have privilege.
I mean, I just wanted to also expound upon that quite just a little bit from my recent vacation experiences here, because this right to exclude, this like right to exclude, like this fundamental cornerstone of like American capitalism, versus like so I'm on this vacation with some of my extended family, and sister-in-law just had twins a couple months ago, so you know the twins are here, and I'm just helping out to take care of these two like infants that are just completely fucking helpless. Like human babies are just ready, they're just helpless.
Yes, they're very helpless. The head is squishy. It's not even solid.
Well, and you know, it just makes me think, and I think you'll appreciate this, Mike, and you probably want to expand upon it more, but you know, we have this fundamental cornerstone is to exclude, and like we're told that like human nature is we're competitive, and you know we're individualistic and we're selfish, but you look at a fucking infant, and for an infant to survive to be a toddler, let alone adulthood, like it takes sacrifice from someone, right? It might not be a rich parent that birthed them, but someone is sacrificing, right? Whoever the nanny that they're paid to take care of a child or whatever. But
someone's putting their time into that child, regardless. Right. Someone is. That time that they cannot get back.
And how could we have ever species, like, just exploded in population across this planet?
Yep.
If everyone was competitive and selfish, like you have to be selfish, selfless to take care of these infants. And that seems to just go against, right, everything that we're taught about, like, quote unquote, human nature.
What are we're taught? Malthusian human nature is what we're taught. But that's bullshit.
Can you elaborate on Malthusian?
Well, he's the guy who promoted the fact that everyone is selfish. He's the overpopulation guy too. But
Charles Dickens fucking hated, by the way. Respect. No, but I don't know. I figured you'd appreciate that, Mike, because I know how much you talk about, like, I don't know what we want to say, pre-feudal civilizations, proto-communists. Like, it was all about society. Cooperation.
It had to be. If it wasn't, we as a species would have went extinct. That's it. It's just simple logic.
Which, speaking on the whole tribalism thing, the tribes back then, they were kind of based on what they needed to survive, to help each other survive, community, right?
Their culture was formed around the resources that they had, that they had at their disposal to, you know, live a life.
Okay, basically. So as we move further into the future, I'm wondering if the tribalism that we're seeing in, you know, social media and the echo chambers of the algorithms, if that tribalism and the resources to maintain that tribalism becomes the tribalism of our culture. Do you think that the vision that the AI essentially creates through our Facebook algorithm to pigeonhole each person in the most capitalistic way possible has the potential to do that, or am I overthinking it?
Well, I was going to say, there's a lot of people on Twitter in a certain area of Twitter that seem to, like, they kind of romanticize.
You mean like a ridiculously small echo chamber?
Yeah, probably, because that's how social media works. But like they're romanticizing, you know, they romanticize like that sort of lifestyle, and it's like, does that mean you actually want to do it, or are you just like talking about it? And you know, there's no way of knowing that.
Primitivists that are like,
I mean, some of those people, yeah, some of those people.
Well, I mean, Rob, I mean, I would say there's a difference between, right, the tribalism that Mike is talking about is tribes are based on like material conditions to survive as a species, or at least as a familial, extended familial unit.
I'm also sort of applying that in the sense that we, as the species that had that for hundreds of thousands of years in our culture, and just not until up until recently, we don't, have found a way that we can express something like that tribalism.
Via social media?
Via social media. It feels natural. It feels perfectly natural and normal because we've done it for 500,000 years of our evolution. It's just on a different platform, virtually. It's virtual, virtual tribalism.
It's fine. Yeah, it's finding your people. And but it's still a good point to bring up, though, because it's honestly a phenomenon that might be happening and something, you know, that we could keep a pulse on. I mean, to me, that's kind of how it feels.
This has never happened before.
No. This is all brand new. There's never been anything that's connected people around the world the way the internet does, ever.
And that, well, that's almost the thing. The internet connected everybody, and then the first thing that they did was find a way to divide it up and monetize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, not the first thing. That was after the capitalists got up. Because at the beginning of the internet, it was nothing. I think the point I was trying to make, I think there's a difference between the old ancient, more ancient tribalism of survival versus the more recent tribalism that's like the survival tribalism that, you know, Mike has mentioned. That's like to survive as a species, as a group. But the more recent tribalism is more like a cultivated personal identity that I belong to.
Oh, yeah. I think they absolutely run hand in hand. But to counter that, it is survival for some people. These social media algorithms provide millions of paychecks for people via OnlyFans, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, blah, 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 blah. For some people, the social media, it is survival.
But again, even with your example, Rob, there's still like old school tribalism is like groups of people surviving. Whereas even now, okay, you know, I'm the MyPillow guy and I've created this tribe.
Yeah.
Right around this Trump shit so I can get a
paycheck. I see what you're saying.
He's one of the few people that, I mean, he's exploiting, right?
Yeah, he's exploiting that need to belong to a group. That's what they do. They exploit the need to belong to a group to siphon money out of you because you're like, oh, man, I belong. They accept me. Like, I'm cool with these guys, and I'll keep throwing money their way because they tell me that I'm right.
It's not just that, but it's a lot of that.
Yeah, it's part, for sure.
Thank you for joining us for another exciting Anal Probe segment, listeners. We appreciate you, the ones that stick around to the end. Don't forget, you can reach out to us at anewamericanlegacy@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at anewamericanle1. A special thanks to all the Anal Podcast participants, hosts, as well as music producers and content and idea creators. The show wouldn't be possible without you, so credit where credit's due. And as always, listener, stay safe out there.